Members in attendance this afternoon, Representative Larson, Furness. I'm snake bit, believe me I am. Representative Cawdrey and myself, Representative Babood, Chairman. The bill we're taking up this afternoon is a sponsor substitute for House Bill 62. And that bill is an act relating to the use of public money for the payment of non-resident individuals or business. Let the record show, please, that Representative Schultz is in the safe, the coffee room. And now is in attendance. I did want to point out something, and it has to do with the non-residency. However, I would like to add Mr. Stack. Would you care to testify, please? And I presume, Mr. Stack, you'd be speaking on your on the position paper of the department.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, my name is Anselm Stock, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Administration. The position paper, there's really not much more I can expand on that other than to say that obviously no one can quibble or question, you know, the desirability of local hire using residents and so forth. I mean, that's not an issue. There are present procedures available to attempt to, if the idea is to find out information and review information to find out how much money is being paid to non-residents versus residents and contracts, that capability presently exists. And there are, for instance, just as an example, and I can only speak to that from experience since I was an audit manager for the state's Division of Legislative Audit for a while myself, several years ago, is that you could ask them to go in and actually review what has happened to payments over a period of time. But they could also profile them. They could do it much more efficiently rather than setting up a whole bureaucracy or whatever in order to just collect information. And that's merely our concern. Plus, if you have a form type of situation, unless you're willing to exert a prior approval clause, the after-the-fact kind of situation really causes you some problems in terms of real enforcement. So I think you have to, I think if you approach it from a fact-finding type of thing that you already have staff that's capable of doing that, and you find out the information, you may find it may give you a much better idea of how to proceed on it, but you have all those tools available. The other concern that we have is simply that you have got to define, when you use words like non-resident in a bill, you have to provide some definition for that. And that is simply because you want to make sure that there's some consistency, since that is becoming a real issue lately in a lot of different bills, that there is consistency across the board.
In just a short explanation, could you give us an idea from your perspective what this bill does? What is the reason for this bill? What does it correct anything in your opinion?
Mr. Chairman, this bill doesn't correct, in our opinion, would not correct the situation or control the situation of using non-resident versus resident contractors. It does insert, quite frankly, and diverts a lot of time to creating reports, information, greater bureaucracy, to provide information on something, but its real control aspects aren't there. I think the attempt is certainly laudable. There's no question about that, that the attempt is to get more use of, you know, of resident contractors, but it doesn't really bring that about.
May I make a statement first? We are at the present time, the committee is involved in the residency question by establishing what residency is. also establishes what non-residency is, if you will. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. And in view of the circumstances, until we have a handle on what is residency, it seems to me that we would be causing some type of a problem here if we were to go ahead and run this thing bill through, only to find out that perhaps it does not conform to any particular residencies that we have already established, or those that which we feel, or the attorney or our counsel feels that is unconstitutional. Would you have a tendency to agree with that?
Mr. Chairman, I'd agree with that, simply because you have to provide some form of definition. You also have to know how far this kind of thing will go. There are several bills that are presently before both bodies that have to do with the amount or percentage of differential between resident versus non-resident and procuring services and so forth. All of this is part of the same issue. And until you define the difference between resident and non-resident, you get a definition that you know will stick, you know, and that people will honor. This is somewhat premature.
Thank you, Mr. Brennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stack, I believe, but the question is correct, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that the Department of Administration handles a lot of the contractual opportunities for the state. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Then, I guess the other question, if the report was made to the Department of Administration, what would you do with the report?
Mr. Chairman, with the report right now, in its current form, would be as a matter of information. Unless you were asking us to specifically, we have to approve, where we do a secondary approval upon the department's approval, second guess them, so to speak, and say, well, whatever reasons you felt you had to use the non-resident or the resident, we believe you're wrong. I mean, unless we are required to make a determination that has the capability of overriding their own written procedure. In that case, it would be for matters of information only. And it might provide some useful information, as there are supposed to be recommendations for use of residents in the state. But its true force would be if we were required to take an approval action.
Mr. Chairman, as a sort of a follow-up here, in my opinion, it really doesn't make sense just to file a report with the department that simply is a matter of another piece of paper. We all realize we've got enough paper floating around. It appears that the sponsor should be, at least we should suggest to the sponsor that something be done with that paper, either as an evaluation tool or give a particular department some teeth in order to deal with that effectively. But to simply send all this paper to the governor or the Department of Education, University of Alaska, and the Legislative Audit Division doesn't make any sense. And I would probably, if this was a serious piece of legislation rather than the Department of Education, I'd recommend we amend it to say the Department of Administration. That would be, it appeared to be the more appropriate department to receive, again, this paper, given that department some evaluation responsibility and some ability to do something as opposed to 13-ing it.
It would seem, Mr. Furness, that the governor, they do put out contracts also without going through administration. The Department of Education does it too, do they not?
Chairman, the contracts for these various agencies are all subject to statute, and also any professional services contract other than those that are for DOT have to be gone through the Department of Administration. DOTs themselves, professional services only, contracts are, you know, actionable within their agency. But all of the contracts have to flow through the and Department of Administration, and any rules that go along with contracting for professional services also applies to all quasi-public corporations such as the Permanent Fund Corporation and so forth. And the Department of Administration is responsible in effect, through a derived way for their own purchasing practices and so forth. That is also by law.
Thank you. Before we go any further, please let the record reflect the presence of Mr. Juno Mike Miller. Mr. Larson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this bill, I think, speaks to a kind of a isolistic philosophy. There's nothing in the bill to enforce the compliance of the filing of this form. There's no law that says that there's any penalty for someone who has not complied. And there's no legislation that says doing contrary to the bill is illegal. I personally think this is adding another bit of work to the bureaucracy, and most of us, I think, ran under campaigns to do the opposite.
Any other questions from the witness? Thank you, sir, for taking the time to come down. Are there any further, any other witnesses? Give testimony? I note that Representative Lindauer is not here. I see his aide is here. Would you have any comments to make?
My name is Dorothy Peavy. I represent Representative Lindauer, who is in a finance meeting this afternoon. Representative Lindauer feels very strongly that somewhere the Department of Education, the university, need to be kept abreast in some way of needs that the state is having to go outside to fill, and felt that this would be a way to address this. Representative Lindauer has no pride of authorship with this, and if the committee feels that it needs some work with an enforcement clause or some other mechanism to give it more meat, to not make it a paper shuffling bureaucracy, but would in some way help the educational system and the state to provide the state with the services that are necessary, that we currently must hire other than Alaska residents to provide, then I'm sure Representative Lindauer would be happy to work with you to, and his staff would be happy to work with you to beef it up to do those things.
Any questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Gentlemen, I'll go back to the original piece of information on the position paper that the Department of Administration has given to us. You find that in your packet. Further, that we are involved right now in the residency problem. In view of those circumstances, what would be the pleasure of the committee? Representative Cowdery.
Yes, I think it'd be proper to hold this bill until we get this residency thing. We've got many bills that addresses the same problem, and I think once we clear up the major bill that you've been working on for a long time, that it'd be premature to rule on or pass this bill out. This time, I'd like to make a motion to hold this bill until a later date that we can address the problem.
Are there any objections to the motion in front of us at the moment?
I object only for a comment, Mr. Chairman.
There is an objection, Mr. Larson.
Yeah, I think we should inform the prime sponsor that we do have more questions than just a question of residency. The true intent of what he's trying to do is not reflected in the bill.
You also feel that in line with your other line of conversation a moment ago, that there's no teeth in it. This is just another layer of work to do for the administration without having any true meaning to it. Is that what you're saying?
And even if you tried to put teeth in it, then I would start questioning the constitutionality of it.
There is an objection.
Objection, Mr. Chairman.
You have objection, Mr. Larson?
No.
There is another objection, Mr. Furness?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. What I would also suggest is that the legislature does have the power of appropriation. It appears that the time to police this kind of action would be a budget where these organizations with contractual dollars be asked to show so how those dollars are spent and how many of those dollars are in the state. And then perhaps the Finance Committee can take up responsibility of making some type of report, a consolidated report, but to just simply send the paper around throughout the year just doesn't make sense.
Mr. Miller, do you have any comments?
No, I concur in Mr. Cutter's motion.
Thank you. Any further objections to holding the bill? The objections have been moved. It's we will hold the bill. Motion is all in favor of holding the bill. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Hearing no opposition, the bill will be held over. Is there anything further to come before the committee? If not, we adjourn.
Is it constitutional?
Well, who?
Or is it constitutional?
To tax non-residents